You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNGRadio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
You have no idea what's coming.
Mr. Wick broke the rules. I trust you understand the repercussions if he survives.
John Wick, excommunicado, is now in effect.
You shouldn't be here. Nice suit.
Good to see you too. I need your help.
After this, we are less than even.
There's no escape for you. The High Table wants your life.
Would you help set the mood for our new guest?
Let us begin.
Our service is still off.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm here with Patrick Campbell.
Hello, everyone. It is good to see you, as is a shock to no one who's probably listened to this show before. I am currently in my car driving in Los Angeles because this is the only time I have any time to apparently podcast half the time. So here we are.
Gene.
Hey, man. Good to be back on your show. Good to be podcasting with you guys.
It's great to have you back. Gina Versa. I didn't even get to mix your full name because I was laughing because, yes, Patrick, we have you always when you're in the car. It just works out for me when you're in a car.
I guess. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm comfortable. I'm driving. I have nowhere else to go. I'd be talking to myself, so I might as well be talking to someone else.
Nice. All right, so I already forgot what movie we're talking about, even though I just played the trailer. What movie are we talking about again?
John Wick 3 Parabellum.
Awesome. Okay. So I've made the joke on Twitter that if you want to just know my thoughts on John Wick Chapter 3, just go back and watch my last episode. Where I talk about it with actually you, Patrick, and then our friend Mike Messina. Yeah, just go back to that because it's pretty much the same thoughts. Great action, great development, then a great cliffhanger. There you go. Yeah. Now, Gene, what did you think? What?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great action movie that was so well directed. It really ties up all the loose ends of the John Wick universe and leaves it open for a sequel. That was cool. It didn't feel finite, but you really start to see more of this world, which, you know, it's so interesting in the John Wick universe. So, yeah, I was really happy just watching it and being entertained by it.
All right, go ahead, Patrick.
I mean, what's there to say other than we finally have a film in America that can rival The Raid in just, like, relentless violence and choreography that is so fun and so cool. The John Wick films continue to be a staple of the current blockbuster trend by not being blockbuster films. They are the mid-range 90s action films that I've been waiting to make a comeback. Mm-hmm. And every time we get one of these films, it is got better character development, better action. Everything I've been hoping four continues to get better. And not only is that all well and good, but every character that they introduce in the new film is interesting and adds more depth to the world than we already knew.
I would completely agree with you.
I agree with all this. Like, I really do. I really do agree with all of what you guys have said. It is a great, well-made action movie. Chad Stahelski has made Gun Fu an art form now. And Knife Fu and Dog Fu. And is there any other foods like Motorcycle Fu? Horseback Riding Fu? He's made it all an art form. And I mean,
this movie is so ridiculous. It, like, legitimately think about this. The first two films are great in and of themselves, and Gung Fu became a thing. But in this third one, they were like, we can't just keep doing that. And they so expand greatly on what Wick is able to do in the film that the amount of violence is ridiculous. Look, there's Book Fu in this movie. Like, straight up, he murders a dude in a library with a book.
That's the first kill of the movie.
I know. And it's about 5 minutes in. This movie is, like, going for broke. And I can't believe that it's taken this long. But Chad Stahelski, like I said, he legitimately is the guy I've been waiting for to bring what makes the Raid film so spectacular here. Like, he gets that you can tell a compelling story with interesting characters while also just letting our eyes bleed out from awesomeness with the action.
Yeah. Well said.
My thing, is that you or me?
That would be me. Sorry, I'm driving.
Okay. Anyway, so my kind of thought on it is I do love it all. Like, it is all very well done. But it kind of is the same all over, except we get a new villain who's frustrating, but purposeful, but lovingly frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then we get, you know, Mark. I'm gonna butcher this. Mark Dacascos. What's the last name? Mark De. Mark Dacascos. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stick with that. And isn't he in Hawaii 5-0? The new Hawaii.
I believe so.
Yeah. So he's really good. Angelica Houston's all the this is the thing I love about the John Wick franchise is it brings like all these great character actors in for like a day or two of filming and then they show up and do their bit role and they and all these supporting actors make the best of their role. It's not like, you know, they're here for their payday. They're making the best of what they have. And, of course, Keanu Reeves is doing really good acting, like, in the best way he can. In the best way, like, the movie does not require him to go Daniel Day levels of craziness. It's overall, this movie is fun. It's exciting. It's kind of on the caliber of the Mission Impossible films where it's the kind of movies where you just got to watch it sometimes just for the action. And this is about the craziest self-aware action movie I've seen since Mission Impossible 2.
But much better than Mission Impossible 2.
I don't know. Mission Impossible 2 is a lot of fun. It's some goofy shit. Mission Impossible. Oh, yeah. Mission Impossible 2 has Tom Cruise and Duggery Scott, you know, basically play a game of chicken on motorcycles, and then they, you know, jump and attack each other while the motorcycles are exploding.
The best thing that Mission Impossible 2 did was end up giving us Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And I'm sticking by my stance.
I don't know.
Sure.
The wacky movie, but
it's a wacky movie, but I mean, it sticks out now in the Mission Impossible franchise as like the obvious black sheep of the series.
Yeah.
But it is such a fun. It's like a black sheep that knows how to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Knows how to go down for the hoedowns.
Right. Hey, you know, and it introduced more U.S. audiences to John Woo, so did something, right?
Yeah, as long as they've seen A Better Tomorrow, we're good.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Hard Target.
I mean, just basically anything that John Woo has done, especially the Hong Kong cinema wise, like that's the John Woo that
Hard Boiled.
Yeah, dude, Hard Boiled is the best. If you ever wanted to see a movie where there's a shootout where a dude is holding a baby, that is your movie.
That's what I love about John Woo. He just goes for it. He goes for broke, like Chad Stahelski does.
Yeah, I will push back a little bit on what you said earlier, though, where you're like, it's more of the same. Yes, it is a little more of the same. I'd argue that it's not at the same time. We're in a very different place with this version of the character that we met in the first film, and especially in what was happening in the second film. Because now that where we meet John, he's at the mercy of literally everyone around him. No one has to help him. No one should be helping him. And he is on a mission to get to the High Table to try to clear his name.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different dynamic than what we're generally used to as far as he in this world is concerned. And mm-hmm. I think it's very important that we've seen an evolution of his character up until this point, to the fact that, I mean, spoilers abound, he does go to the High Table to show his loyalty. He cuts off his ring finger and gives his ring to the guy above the table and pledges an allegiance to go and kill Winston, only to decide to trust his friend, someone who has been there by his side, only to have his friend shoot him off of a roof. So, I mean, he's grown a lot as a character. I don't think we find him quite in the same place that we're used to. And, I mean, Winston shooting him off the roof, yeah, he knew it was a bulletproof thing, but I also, that fall would have killed anyone. Winston did what he did for power, and I think he's going to fucking reap what he sowed in that moment.
Okay, you think he, you don't think he had any sort of talk through with John at that point? I mean, they were planning so much of just that whole their whole defense of the Continental. You don't think anything was planned when you shot him?
Could it have been? Yes. And I can see where you can see it that way. But at the same time, like, John looks actually surprised. And the fact that he's going to the Bowery now and, like, he's teaming up with them and he doesn't go back to Winston because she, you know, the liaison for the High Table is gone now. And they can't want anyone to know that Wick is still out there because that means she will die and they'll still come after Winston. So it feels like a power play for him to get the Continental back. Unfortunately, John just happened to be the guy.
Yeah.
And so I think that, unfortunately for him, that may not have been the best move in the end because now, well, what happens next? You know.
Parabellum Part 2?
Yeah, I mean, this was because Parabellum is war. If this is if that was the beginning of the war, now what? Like, everyone is going to be going after the High Table. Especially if they have the Bowery going, like, as a part of it.
Right.
John Wick Chapter 4, Endgame.
Well, and as we know, as of yesterday, the fourth film was officially dated for two Mays from now, May of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did really well at the box office, so that's really great. That's amazing to see, especially that sort of budget of movie and genre.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
And that was the thing that surprised me this weekend is seeing it dethrone Avengers because the thing about that's the thing that's been the most surprising about the John Wick franchise is its continued upward success.
Yeah, I mean, this film in one weekend made more than the first film made its entire run in America. And then almost doubled what the second film's opening weekend was. I mean, that's not for nothing. You know, these films are very popular.
Yeah. And And I think this is a good, and I feel like this franchise is a good comeback for Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, what else can Keanu Reeves, what else could Keanu Reeves do now is the more interesting question. But before I
get to
what? Before.
Bill and Ted.
Okay, you're fair enough. Bill and Ted.
There is a major studio circling him for certain projects right now. I'll let you take your guess at which studio is high on trying to get him, but they had talked to him in the past about potentially being a Sorcerer Supreme. So take that for what you will. And then he was also circled for a recent film that opened in February, or March, I should say, but he couldn't do it because he was doing Wick 3.
I would love for Keanu to do the Silver Surfer for my fan casting. I hope that's true one day.
I mean, his voice is perfect for it, and way better than co-star Lawrence Fishburne's voice in the Tim Story film.
Yeah, it was a little too...
too deep.
Yeah.
It's too godlike in... You and for Galactus needs to be the god, not Silver Surfer.
Lawrence Fishburne as Galactus would be something.
Sure, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, but
and then Carrie and Moss will be in there somewhere.
Well, so she was originally rumored to be in this one. I think she was supposed to be the liaison for the high table. So I'm not sure exactly what happened with that. I don't know if it had to do with Jessica Jones season 3. Which very well could have been the case. But I was a little bit upset about that because I really would have liked to see the three of them in this movie together.
Right. Are they, have they ever reunited in anything since The Matrix? I can't remember.
No, they haven't. And I think it would have been really great if we had gotten a chance to see it. I mean, because that character does have one-on-one FaceTime with both Wick and with Lawrence Fishburne's Bowery character. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and have Halle Berry and Keanu Reeves ever been in a movie together? I can't remember.
Off the top of my head, no. There might be something like very, very small that I am not remembering that some people might know, but as far as I'm aware, no.
Okay,
because I was thinking, because they have really good chemistry in this movie. And
oh, yeah, they're great.
And when she comes on, it really does feel like the Quicksilver part in Days of Future Past, where it's like, oh, you're here now, and you're enlightening this movie.
Totally. And here's the thing. You brought it up earlier. The thing that makes these movies so cool is the amount of character actors and things that they can get. And I think that one of the other very interesting things about it as we build the world out is we're also seeing the spin-off potential of the films. And in particular is the sequence involving the ballerinas and the Russian mob. Because as we know, they've talked about there's a script called The Ballerina that's been purchased by Lionsgate that is being retrofitted as a film in the John Wick universe. That means that Angelica Houston potentially has a bigger role in this universe in another film.
Yeah, and she's still alive too.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to have a personal beef now with the high table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would, maybe John too. I would imagine.
Yeah, probably too.
It sounds like everyone's going to have beef with the high table.
Right. They fucked everyone over.
Yeah. Which was not really their fault. Like nothing that John Wick did was their fault. And this woman who looks almost exactly like the villain from the last movie. Which made me wonder, so is it going to be like a reveal that she's like a sibling? Another sibling or lover or something?
Wait, of the Ruby Ross character?
No, of the villain. No, of Santiago from...
Oh, Santiago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of the last one where... Because if you look back... Because if you look back, they have very similar look. And I thought that was going to be the big reveal is that... She knew him very personally, and that's why she's like so hell bent on everyone getting their due and not just John Wick. Because what's been interesting about the John Wick franchise is how everyone has, how this character's revenge has been, had like a cause and effect.
Everything, what is it she says, Jennifer Houston, like all this just from the dog. It's like, it wasn't just the dog. It's the fact that they messed up his solace, you know? It's like slumber of not being an assassin.
Mm-hmm. And that's the appeal of the John Wick franchise, is the theme of, you know, the duality of revenge, the causality of revenge, and how it is a double-edged sword for Wick, because he went and acted revenge and then went back home, but he's pulled back in into the second one and now is fighting for his life, literally just a fight to survive. Not even for a chance of redemption or not a chance to get back out. He's fighting for his own life.
Yeah, he just wants to get by.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what was so interesting about his scene when he was talking to the gentleman above the high table. And his whole thing, the whole reason he's doing this is to try to regain some sort of self and, like, live for the love of his wife. But the problem is now that he's done this, he can't really go back. And he gave his ring and he gave his finger for it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next?
And right. That's almost like him getting some closure with, God, her name's like Kathy Wick?
Yeah.
Helen Wick, excuse me. Yeah, I think that's the first time you ever seen him kind of give up that memory of Helen that's kind of loomed over the franchise. It's a really great scene, I would add.
Yeah, and I think that repercussions of that moment will be reverberated through the entire criminal underworld moving forward, because without that holding him back, now what? Like, right. He's got nothing left to live for. And he's already turned his back on the high table, so just about everyone is now in the crosshairs of standing in his way for whatever it is he wants in the end.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you guys, do you think that this has to end with John dying by the time it's all over? Like, is there any other way out for him?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I feel like he's such a, finite character and, like, what he wants and his needs and the amount of, like, death he deals out. Like, it has to come back to him in some way. Like, because, you know, John isn't that, you know, he certainly has, like, morals, but this is still a guy that's, like, killed people, you know? And what assassin has, like, a retirement plan? I would
think. Right. That's kind of where my mind is wandering too. I think like it really kind of almost has to end in the way that we don't want it to. Because there's only one way to kind of put a stop to him, and that's to stop him with a bullet.
Right.
You mean the high table will finally invest in a sniper?
I mean, they've had a sniper. I don't know. Have they ever?
Nope.
They had a sniper at some point. No.
Well, Willem Dafoe was the sniper, but then they killed him.
Oh yeah. I guess.
Man, it feels so that Willem Dafoe was in one of these movies.
Right.
God, it feels like a lifetime ago that John Leguizamo and Willem Dafoe were in this franchise.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest. I miss John Leguizamo.
Yeah, where has he been?
I mean, there's no reason for him to be in this movie. I mean, Wick didn't have a car at all in there, so you know.
Right. Sure. What happened to his car? I love that. I love the red.
It blew up.
Blew up? Oh, that's right. Game.
It also died. This man just cannot rest. He loses his wife to cancer. He loses his dog to a spoiled Russian brat, and he loses, and now he loses his favorite car to an explosion.
And he lost his finger and his wedding ring.
Dang it! And his best friend turned on him. Yeah, or maybe
he lost the Continental.
Well, yeah. Well, his that was like his father figure. I don't know if you guys ever heard. You know, I don't know if you invest much in fan theories, but someone said that Winston might be the father of, like, Helen or something. That's an interesting way to look at it. What's up?
Yeah. I said I could definitely see something like that. And I don't know if you guys have read the John Wick comics that they've been doing, but they're definitely leaning into this idea that John was always looking for a father figure because he didn't really have direction before. And it's very interesting because he kind of falls into the world of the assassin and stuff by mistake. And he's brought into it because he goes on a revenge mission. And now we're seeing something very similar play out.
Yeah, it's that's an interesting thread. I hope we'll see more of in the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think of Ian McShane as Winston this time around?
I've always liked him. He's always been real. It's the same as all these other character actors that pop in for like a day or two of filming and then they leave. They just all give their best. Like, and even in a crap movie like Hellboy, Ian McShane's still doing good work.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, of the two movies that Ian McShane has been in so far this year, this is obviously the better of the two by a lot, but he's also really good in it. And the thing is these character actors that they get, they fit the world. Every character is a very specific design, and the actors that play them fit those molds for a reason. And that's why they're chosen, and you can feel it when they do it. Like, it just pops. It works. It's fun.
Yeah.
That's why it's still so good.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you more excited for the Deadwood movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super excited. They've got posters all around Los Angeles for Deadwood. Everywhere I've been driving, I keep seeing them. And I'm like, I'm just happy that Deadwood's coming back. Even if it's only 2 hours, I'm going to be happy to spend time with those characters again.
Right. It's the fact that it's just like a thing that was finally made.
That's amazing.
So, going back to that twist at the end, you guys mentioned that Wick was surprised. Here's the thing that gives me the reason why I think this was all planned ahead of time. Is because Winston, even hearing that John Wick isn't dead, he's like, oh, he's not dead? Okay, I guess we'll find him.
I assume he knows that Wick is going to live, but I mean, shooting anyone off of the top of a building in New York, they're not supposed to survive. And I mean, Wick hit just about everything all the way fucking down to the ground.
Well, no one planned for Lawrence Fishburne to survive all those cuts either. That's why I think there was a much bigger plan.
Oh, I mean, the Bowery thing is very interesting to me, and I assumed he had to survive because they only said they were only cutting him. They weren't killing him. It was the same thing with when it came to basically his mother figure with Angelica Houston. Right. Like, they didn't kill her. They put a blade through her hands. So everyone is meant to survive. They're meant to survive to learn a lesson. The problem is the High Table keeps trying to dole out these lessons. They're just going to piss people off. And now Wick is out there with them.
Yeah, that's why I'm willing to think. You know, Winston probably is screwed, but I mean, it could easily. Here's the thing about John Wick Chapter 4. It could go either way. Because they leave it ambiguous enough to where they could easily rework it in to be like, oh, this was all planned along, to where the Continental, the Ballerium, and Halle Berry's group of dogs and everyone involved are all now going to go to war with John Wick.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's all now coming together, because the High Table has screwed themselves by coming off of their high horse to come visit everybody.
Yep.
To come dual out punishment for a person that just only got reinstated, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, basically. Yep,
pretty much. I mean, at this point, at least.
Man, that is... God, so many people are going to die in the next movie.
I'm not saying something, considering he kills a lot of people in this movie. I mean...
He mows people down by, like, dozens.
Yeah.
He knives people. The motorcycle sequence alone. He kills so many people on motorcycles.
Everyone's dying in this movie. It makes me wonder, like, so how does the High Table, like, explain the extreme body count that's going on? Because this is borderline ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it all started because some dude had to freaking kill his dog. Mm-hmm. Not very smart.
No.
Oh, Theon, why? This is all your fault, Theon Greyjoy.
Well, that's great. It's Theon Greyjoy. And I forgot he was in it.
it's impressive, almost, the amount of talent that has been in these movies when you think about it. Like, they really do attract the coolest cast members. So it makes me very excited to see whatever happens with the next one, because you have so much more potential for even better characters and more actors. But the one thing I do hope, I hope Tommen comes back, because I'd really like to see him go toe-to-toe with him again, or them fighting alongside each other, which would be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where was Tommen in this movie? He even got the text.
I think he declined.
Mm-hmm. No. He said he wanted to come back, but they didn't have his role in this one. And I think a big part of it is, if you remember where we left him, these movies take place over the span of so long. He was left on a subway car with a knife in his stomach.
Right. It's going to take a while.
I'm going to guess he's not quite healed yet.
Yeah.
He's not ready to take on more gun-fu.
Mm-hmm. He's there. Needs to recover.
I like this franchise. It's just, this is the one franchise that I'm just here to watch the movies just because it's fun. It's just popcorn fun for me. And I mean, I get there are great themes in there. I mean, I think, you know, there are great ideas, great things sprinkled in. Like John always wearing a black suit to all of, you know, to all of his, you know, to everything. It symbolizes pretty much he is the angel of death.
Mm-hmm.
He is the boogeyman. And now he's coming for you. What?
Bobby Yaga. Yeah, basically.
He just was the man you sent to kill the fucking boogeyman.
That's what makes John Wick so cool, is that he is a legend even before the movie starts. Like, there's this whole, like, past with John Wick where that could be interesting, but then you're like, no, let's never explore the past. Let's never explore the past. Let's just move on. It's very much more interesting to think John Wick just helped Halle Berry once on a favor, and that was it.
Right. Yeah, I have a question for you, because I really like the just how much history is in these movies. But I wish the dialogue would be a bit different whenever he meets someone that he knows. It's always like, "Hey, John," and he's like, "Clarence," or it's like. And it's like, he always, you know, they have this bit of banter. And I don't know, until this movie, it just kind of bugged me, some of the dialogue choices, where it's just like, always kind of the same conversation he has with every assassin, where it's like, he meets a giant octopus, John, you know? It's so, like, casual.
I can kind of see where you're coming from, but the reason I like it is because the casual, like, how casual it is the whole point of this world, is that they're like any other 9-to-5 worker. These people are just doing their jobs. Like, they stay at hotels like everyone else and everything, you know? So it makes sense to me.
Right. No, no, for sure it makes sense. I don't know if I'm just being a stickler or something.
No, but it is funny that that John Wick has, through his lifetime, met all these people, and now they're all coming to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the most interesting part, is that, you know, John Wick used to be, like blue-collar co-workers with these people, and now they're all, like, fighting each other to the death. And that's how, like, and it adds more to the kind of the sickening dark humor that this franchise now has. So yeah. It's interesting all the way through. I think this is but yeah, so is there any more stuff we need to talk about with John Wick?
You guys feel the stamina of the character is kind of a little too much at times, where I love that last fight scene with him as him fighting all those great martial artists, but like the 9th or like the 10th glass like plate that decked through was just kind of like, oh, I think he would be dead at this point, you know?
Patrick?
I don't know.
I don't know exactly. I laughed the entire time. I think that's why they did it, because they knew it was so funny to see John just keep being thrown through glass. And it's a glass room.
Yeah, they kick his ass just so badly.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it was a great scene. And I really love that character of, I'm blanking on his name, the antagonist.
Mark Danku, the Custis.
Right, yeah, that character, he's badass, but I love just the subversion that they have going on with him, where it's like he's so deadly, but then at the same time he's a big fan of John, and he tells him like fanboy things, like Zero is his name in the movie. Like, Zero just wants his autograph, just wants to hang out with John, shoot the shit. And it's like, I guess the thing with, I guess the way he does that is just by like fighting to the death. That's so, that's so funny, where it's just, you know, the way they hang out is just killing each other, some of these assassins.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of the world that is John Wick. Is the nature of the world is the only means of visually working out problems and is fighting. That's the only way. It's very much that kind of Rocky type visual, where it's the only way to settle anything is for a fight.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what you use, what you do in that fight, you just gotta win. It's the only way to settle it. But yeah. So with that, Patrick, do you have any more thoughts?
I just hope that everyone goes and sees this movie, because it's really, really fantastic. Keanu Reeves deserves all the love. He's a perfect human being, and he looks damn good in a suit killing people.
Awesome.
A magnificent specimen of murder.
Nice. So, nice. So with that, want to get into plugs, everyone?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. I guess I'll go first.
Go, Gene.
You could follow my podcast, The Waffle Press, on Twitter, at The Waffle Press. And we now have an Instagram, so it's also at The Waffle Press Podcast, a little different than the Twitter. And then, subscribe on YouTube. We come out with some great videos, and subscribe on iTunes, and we're on Spotify. That's good. And then just follow me on G9892 on Twitter for my personal account.
All right, Patrick.
You guys can find me on Twitter at PJ_Campbell or at Facebook at PJ Campbell. Join the PJ Campbell Show Facebook group. We have lots of conversations about movies and fun things in there. And you can find my podcast, The PJ Campbell Show, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, basically just about anywhere you can purchase podcasts. It's there, so check it out.
Yeah, I could vouch for your show. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes. Please check out. Oh, go ahead.
You and the you and Brandon, pretty funny.
Yep. All right. So yeah, thanks.
It's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Night. All right. Please check out everyone's show. Please check out the PJ Campbell Show. Please check out the Waffle Press. Please check it out. Thanks, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at MovieKale and at The Youth Critic for the show, and then at KHC Network for all our channel distributors this podcast. Thank you so much. We will be back with you soon for Aladdin, I guess.
Our services still off limits to me. What do you need? Guns. Lots of guns. You think you can take John Wick? You've got a nasty surprise coming.
I've been looking forward to meeting you for a long time. And so far, you haven't disappointed.
We can keep this up as long as you'd like. But this only ends one way.
All of this for what? Because of a puppy?
Wasn't just a puppy.